Oh, hey, do you want to talk about a hot button issue tonight?
How about we talk about a spiritual analog to a hot button issue? Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost.
With Joseph and Crystal Gruber.
A podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal, everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Give us wisdom. Help us to know the Father better. Help us to know the reality of who He is and who we are in Him. Mother Mary, lead us by your example. Amen.
Amen.
Father,
Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So you picked a kind of something controversial title?
Controversy. That's what I'm after.
So contraceptive spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that you don't think that that's a good thing.
We can get to that.
We can get to that. I think it might be good to start out by clarifying that this isn't meant only for married people.
No, this is meant for people. If you're a person listening to this podcast, it's designed for you. Well, especially if you're a Catholic disciple who's wrestling to be missionary-minded in their ordinary everyday life. Not to be too repetitive.
So let's start by defining terms.
All right. Contraceptive.
I was thinking we could start with spirituality. Just kidding.
Okay. Contraceptive. Contra, against, septive, which is from a Proto-Indo-European root, meaning to grasp or to take. You find this in such words as receive and accept and incept and concept and... I lost track of septs.
Incept is an interesting one.
Yeah. It really came into the popular lingo through the Christopher Nolan film Inception. Because it's such an underused word, I think people thought that he made it up. But it's just a word that means beginning. And the whole book, or not book, the whole movie, the whole film is about how to begin an idea in someone, such that it will actually take root, you know, the beginning of something. So there's a sense in which contraception is against the beginning of something. Does that make sense?
Yes. And just in case our listeners don't know, Joseph really enjoys...
etymologies. Words. The history of words. Some people say I enjoy made-up etymologies. I say they're wrong.
Anyways, so being against... new beginnings is a way to define contraception.
And how it's used in popular parlance is like the physical contraceptive. So if you go to a chastity talk at a high school, you'll hear about contraception is lying with our bodies. You know, there's a language of our bodies and there's a lie being spoken when contraception is used in that language of the bodies. Known as the marital embrace. Go ahead.
And part of that is this closing off to new life, that entering into an act that is made to create new life and putting something in the way on purpose to say, but I don't actually want this particular act to create new life.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, that saying no to a beginning of a life, in particular in the instance of the marital act.
Right. And we likely will do a podcast more about natural family planning, contraception, all of these things because...
they're only my favorite topics.
That's all. That's really... we're on like the 17th episode and we haven't really talked about them yet, which I've been reining her in, folks. I have been saying, no, not yet. Not yet.
And this episode, contrary to what you might think, is not actually about that. So another aspect of what contraception does is,
Are you going to quote me?
I am going to quote my husband's little note here. All the feels without all the reels.
I typed it in to be funny, not to be read.
Yeah, here we are.
All the feels without all the reels. So it's saying I want the appearance and I want the pleasure, but I don't want the substance. I don't want the reality. There's something inherent to... nuptial union that is open to life And to act against that is to say, I want the appearance of the nuptial act without the reality of the nuptial act. Right?
Yes. So we fleshed out a definition for contraception. So to transition to why did we call this podcast Contraceptive Spirituality? And one of the things we think about when we're thinking about what to record for a podcast is thinking about what are things that we need to hear, and realizing that there are challenges in living a missionary-minded, really life-giving spirituality, and wondering if there are areas where we are putting things in the way of new beginnings. So we have a great example of how to do things well, which is always helpful for me.
Right. And this is one of those examples that can't really be beat, because this example is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She did not contracept Jesus. I don't think that's a controversial statement there. She did not contracept Jesus. She did not put up barriers to the new life that was to be formed in her womb. She was told ahead of time, this will happen on your say-so, and she said so. So the reception of the Word, the reception of the Holy Spirit, allowed Mary to receive Jesus. There's this saying from somebody or other that just came to mind, that Mary conceived Jesus first in her heart before she conceived him in her womb, that it was the prior reception of Jesus as the Word that allowed for her to receive Jesus in her womb. So I think that's the part that we want to get at right now, the reception of Jesus into her heart as being the first conception, the first inception, the first beginning of new life.
And as you mentioned, she didn't put up any barriers to that. However, we tend to put up the barriers. At least I do sometimes.
Well, I mean, not to become too technical or graphic or anything, but with contraceptives, there's barrier contraceptive methods, there are chemical contraceptive methods, and then there are hormonal contraceptive methods. And I think that these all have spiritual analogs. So we can ask the question, what are the spiritual barriers? What are the things that we add to our souls that make them inhospitable, like in terms of the spiritual chemicals or the spiritual hormones that we're imbibing or ingesting? Ingesting is better than imbibing. I don't think anybody drinks anything.
So some examples.
Yeah.
Are, well, for one, this is more of a barrier, is not actually praying when we're not actually spending time with our Lord and trying to listen to our Lord. We're putting a barrier there for him planting seeds in our hearts that could grow into something more.
Right. And to set the context, we're talking to, like, we actually receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, which is how Mary received him, his body, his blood, which she provided, and his soul and his divinity, which he provided. We receive those in the Eucharist. So if we're practicing Catholics and we're going up and receiving Jesus, whether it be on Sunday or at a daily Mass, and we're not praying, that seems to be some sort of barrier.
And I've likened this before to intimacy within marriage, that to be intimate in the marital act without having had any conversations about, hey, how is your day? What's going on in your life? Is off-putting, and there's a discontent, a disunity, something is off with that. So in the same way that intimate moment of receiving Jesus into ourselves, if that's done without any other touch point, there's a disconnect between the level of intimacy that is happening and the level of familiarity that actually allows for that kind of intimacy to be good.
Yeah, and I mean on the physical realm, the purely natural realm, without any touch points, still babies could be conceived. But in the spiritual realm, there is an aspect of our wills have to be engaged. You know, we can talk about with the sacraments, there's, you know, from the working of the work itself, you know, that the sacraments do something. But then there's from the working of the worker that they actually call for a response from us, a cooperation from us, for us to actually enjoy the graces and to participate in the graces, to live out the graces in our days. And not actually praying seems to be a barrier to that openness and cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
So another big one.
Sin.
Just throwing it out there. If we're sinning, we're not actually going to be able to receive Jesus. I shouldn't laugh because we do sin.
We do. And I heard this great homily this evening, in fact, where the priest talked about, and I think you'll probably remember where he was pulling this from, because I think it was some great theologian, but how, you know, a bird can't fly if it has a big thick string wrapped around its ankle, but a bird also can't fly if it has fishing line wrapped around its ankle. So whether it be a big fat mortal sin or a tiny little venial sin, we're still being held back from the fullness of what God has created us to be when we sin.
I think that's St. Francis de Sales. I feel like it's an introduction to the devout life. Don't quote me on that. Quote the saint, because the saint probably is worth finding. If you guys know which saint said it,
let us know.
Let us know.
But that really struck me on how sin can be a barrier to my relationship with the Lord and what he wants to do with that, even in the little things, which I think I like to ignore that reality sometimes.
And that's another thing, like when we keep God out of, like we're erecting barriers to God and saying, don't come into this aspect of my life, whether it be something small. Like, I don't really want to talk to you, Lord, about what's something small. I feel like everything that
my relationship with sweeping the floor.
Okay, sure. or some chore that, you know, maybe we have a distaste for, or some chore that we, whatever. And we don't want to actually talk to God about that. Maybe it's we're experiencing a split in our lives. You know, there's our work life and our at-home life, and they're not integrated. We're not really being ourselves fully in both. And we're saying, God, you don't have anything to do with my work. My work is this secular thing. And so we keep him out of it. We don't see how God can actually give us an even greater purpose in our work. And that if we work for that greater purpose, we will actually be doing greater work.
I think our past is another one that's really powerful that I tend to keep God out of, in terms of then that creating a barrier, because I think oftentimes I've seen where healing from these past things that I tend to avoid or other people tend to avoid oftentimes are a place where there's great fruitfulness, or great potential for fruitfulness, and that keeping God out of that is essentially contraceptive.
Yeah, and as a note of warning for those who think, oh no, this means I need to go mining my past for anything that I might be keeping God out of, don't do that. That's a recipe for an unsettled soul. With great confidence in God as a lover and as a healer, we can say to him, Lord, is there some aspect of my past that you would like for me to bring to you right now? But don't go back and saying, well, I need to think through all of my daddy issues or all my mommy issues or all of my, I don't know, kindergarten through senior year of college issues, or whatever. To say, you know, Lord, is there something that you would like for me to bring to you right now?
So, and I think that's an interesting point, that there's a difference between the deliberate, I don't want to go there with you, God, versus it hasn't really occurred to me, or the Lord hasn't led me there and I've asked him, or I don't feel like it's time yet, or I'm waiting till my next counseling appointment or what have you. So, I think with a lot of these things and this idea of, am I unintentionally, hopefully, living a contraceptive spirituality, it's this question of discernment, right? In the same way that a couple enters into discerning adding children to their family, there's a lot of circumstances that aren't going to be seen by anybody except for the husband and wife that are in the muck of it. And in the same way that entering into understanding, am I really open to new life in the spiritual realm? There needs to be a heart of discernment and a heart of asking, am I avoiding things on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Am I putting a barrier up to God on purpose?
Or is he just not actually engaging in that area? So I want to be crystal clear, just because some people, I don't know, I don't want to be a cause for scandal or anything. In case anybody was listening to you, you know, the process of a discernment is never, can I now contracept? But the question of discernment is it now the time to be intimate with one another?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the question is not, oh, now is an appropriate time to have a barrier. But the question is now a time when Jesus is not drawing near into this particular area? And that's okay, because Jesus is actually the initiator.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clearer?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I hope so. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Another area that I think is very common for us to have a barrier, maybe this one is more like the chemical input, the noise, listening to too many things, reading too many things, looking at too many things without having that time for processing or conversation, or without being intentional about what we're consuming. That extra noise can become a barrier to fruitfulness in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Another barrier is keeping God out of particular relationships, saying, you know, Lord, this guy, not saying to the Lord, this guy is bothering me, or I don't know what to do with this particular coworker, but instead keeping it to ourselves and not actually telling him about it, and not allowing him to provide a grace-filled solution in his time and in his way. You know, that's a barrier that we can be putting up. Like, I want to relish the envy that I'm feeling. I want to relish the bitterness that I'm feeling, and I don't want to turn it over to God because I like feeling these ugly things. It seems very funny to say it, but since I know that I've done things like that,
mm-hmm.
I also know that when I listen to this later, I'll probably need to hear it again.
Yeah. Another thing that came up was we were talking about what are things that make our souls inhospitable, is thinking about the sower and the seed parable, which I thought was interesting. So thinking through what are things that sort of pack our dirt, or are too rocky or too thorny, that,
or what are the birds in our lives that are like little demons stealing the word of God from us
and not allowing the truths of the Lord to take root and to really grow in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. I think one of the big things we've talked about a lot over the last couple of years is lies that we believe, or entertaining lies.
Yeah. So these would be like the little birds that come in and snatch at the word as it's being sown in our lives, and said, and they act directly counter to the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, believing a lie about who I am, believing a lie about what God is calling me to do, or who God is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these fundamental lies that seep in, you know, some of them, you know, from an offhand remark from years ago that we took to heart, from things that we've read, things that we've seen, actions that we've committed, believing that we can't change, believing that we're not worthy of change. All of these lies will come in and will just steal the word of God from us, and not allow the word of God to even germinate. There's nothing, I can't think of anything that's much more contraceptive other than sin itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And to see that, you know, sometimes we're believing lies. I mean, we could have a discussion about our culpability when it comes to believing a lie, but I think this is where repentance comes into play. You know, repentance is not just feeling bad. It's learning to think with the mind of Christ, abandoning old ways and adopting the ways of Christ, and renouncing those old ways and saying, no, I don't want to actually live that way in the name of Jesus. May I not live this way anymore. Mm-hmm. I renounce this lie. I renounce this activity, and I ask for the grace to live the life of Jesus from now on.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like one could look very much on the outside, like a faithful practicing Catholic, going to Mass every Sunday, going to confession with some regularity, all these different things, and yet have a sort of contraceptive spirituality unintentionally. And maybe this is another piece where the culpability question comes into mind. And also, I think one of the things I'm realizing more and more is we live in this culture. I think, you know, we talk with people about how to be countercultural, how to live the faith well, how to, be really authentically, beautifully Catholic. But the reality is we are marinating in the culture of death every time we step foot out of our door, and sometimes before we step foot out of our door. And so we live in a culture, we live in a time, we live in a place that's so affected by actual physical contraception. I mean, even our water is affected by the use of hormonal birth control, that we have to face the reality that we too are also, I am also affected by this sort of contraceptive, I've heard it called, you know, the contraceptive mentality of the world we live in. And so to be able to say, okay, do I look like a practicing Catholic on the outside, but on the inside, is there something spiritually contraceptive going on? And thinking about by their fruits, you shall know them, right? Am I showing the fruits of somebody who is open to life, not just biologically, but spiritually, or am I not showing fruitfulness?
And this is maybe a good time to define spirituality a little bit more, because mm-hmm. You wanted to do that earlier, and then we forgot. but to draw a distinction, I think we use the word spirituality sometimes to talk about how we pray. And at least my understanding is that's not how it used to be used. Our spirituality was how we lived. You know, we're not just fleshy. We are now spirity. The spirit of Christ lives in us. We participate in the life of Christ. He invites us into his life. The Holy Spirit gives us grace, gives us life. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are wellsprings through our baptism of grace into the world. And that changes how we do everything. Like, there is not one thing that can remain unchanged by the reality of our baptisms, the reality of our confirmation, the reality of receiving the Eucharist. And so when we're talking about somebody's spirituality, that includes how they pray, but it's everything. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about a contraceptive spirituality, we're not just saying, hey, when you're praying 20 minutes a day, how are you closing off yourself off to God? Or hey, when you're praying your holy hour, or hey, when you're praying at Mass, we're saying, how are we closing ourselves off to the Holy Spirit throughout the day?
Mm-hmm. And so when we are closing ourselves off, it keeps us from starting real relationships with other people. It keeps us from opening ourselves up to some fruit being born.
Right. The the last thing that Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew's gospel is to go and make disciples. And in John's gospel, he says that the way we glorify God is by bearing much fruit and by being his disciples. And obviously there's the component of fruitfulness in which, you know, we ourselves receive the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But there's also the sense of, you know, we're called to make disciples. You know, St. John Paul II said that all energies of the church should be called forth and directed toward the new evangelization and the mission ad gentes, the mission to the people who have never been Christian. And so there's this question, are we bearing fruit? Mm-hmm. Are we open to new life in others through the seeds that we're planting? Mm-hmm. You know, are we receiving seeds that bear fruit in us? And if seeds bear fruit in us, that means that they've germinated, they've grown, they've come to time for harvest, and then they themselves will produce seeds. Like, this is one of the craziest things about seeds, is that they have the potential not just to produce the plant, but to produce more seeds.
And I think that's really helpful and hopeful for me, because I think oftentimes when I think about making disciples or, you know, approaching life with this more missionary mindset, I get intimidated and overwhelmed by all of the things, and realizing that if I'm resting in the Lord, he will ask me to step outside of my comfort zone, but not so much so that it's going to destroy me. That if I am really resting in him, and if he's really bearing fruit in my heart, it's not going to be so far out of reach to scatter those seeds that it's going to break me so that no more fruit can be born. The Lord doesn't want to do that. He wants me to be able to continue to bear fruit.
And I think when we start saying, you know, this might be too difficult before we even go out and try, you know, we're closing ourselves off. And he's asking us just to try. He's asking us to step out and to offer. Mm-hmm. You know, a favorite quote of mine from a friend is, throw seeds, not trees.
Hmm.
Right, like, I can't actually throw a full-grown tree.
I think I only know one person who can.
even they, it has been uprooted first.
That's true.
But he's not calling us to the ridiculous. He's calling us to inception.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling us to make a beginning in someone's life.
And that's so beautiful, too, because that also takes the pressure off of... I mean, there are some people that I feel called to walk with in discipleship and in terms of the answering that call to go and make disciples. But there was so much work that was done in their lives before I even stepped into it. So for me to walk in and talk to them about what it looks like to become a disciple is really joyful and life-giving and not that hard. And then there are other people in my life where I think I sometimes feel this pressure of like, oh, I'm supposed to make them into disciples, when really the Lord is just asking me to scatter seeds abundantly and not worry about whether or not any of them even take root. And again, that discerning heart about what is my role in this particular relationship or in this particular place, and are listening to whether the Lord is calling me to something maybe a little more bold or something a little more subtle, but that I need to be listening and I need to be attentive to those moments.
I wonder, too, if part of what we ought to be doing is to help people shoot down those birds when they start cropping up, right? Like, I think, I don't know when we started using this phrase, but we did. And we would say, if one of us is saying something that's just demonstrably false and negative and not helpful, we'll say something to the effect of, you know, that's a lie from the pit of hells, the pits of hell,
mm-hmm.
right? And then a friend of ours, she calls them, do you remember what she calls them?
Pitiful.
Yeah. Lies, because they're from the pits of hell, to help people to recognize the lies that they believe, and to say, you know, why do you believe that that's true? And do you believe that that's true? And if they say, you know, not really, but it seems clear that they're holding on to it, to ask them if they want to renounce it in the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and to just have them ask them to say the words, you know, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that, you know, insert lie there, and then to invite Jesus into their heart, to fill in the place where that lie has been.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a very simple thing that we can do several podcasts on in and of itself.
But yeah, and we will. But it just seems like when we're talking about scattering seeds, it's not like we don't care at all. Mm-hmm. If they grow, we do care. Mm-hmm. We're not always responsible. We're not responsible for the growth. Mm-hmm. But we can do things, you know, to shoot down birds and help them to weed and to help, you know, at least get some of the major boulders out of their lives.
But also being in tune with the Lord of what role he's asking us to play with each person in our life, right? Doesn't St. Paul talks about like one planted, another
watered, but God gave the growth.
Yeah. And so being in conversation with the Lord of, what is my role with this person today? Because it might be that he's going to ask me to do something really generous 5 years from now with this person that I just can't imagine being able to do. And that would scare me off from even planting a seed. But I don't actually need to worry about that, because 5 years from now, it will seem like much less of a big deal because I'll have this relationship. Whereas being in tune with, and all the Lord is asking me to do right now is to plant the seed of his word. And then to be attentive if he's asking me to pull a weed tomorrow or shoot down a bird. But if that's not what he's asking me to do right now, I don't need to worry about it. It's helpful to know different things that the Lord might ask me to do in generosity.
And to be better equipped in how to do those things, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, why we podcast. Mm-hmm. Tell people. To help ourselves. Yeah.
But so it sounds like the biggest ways to combat having a contraceptive spirituality is to be praying, to be trying to rid ourselves of sin and noise, and to be attentive to our neighbors, and the people that, by neighbor meaning the people that we interact with in our daily life, and to be attentive to the Holy Spirit in each of those interactions, saying, asking the Holy Spirit to guide that, and asking him if there is some way that we can help him bear fruit in this moment in our own hearts as well as the other that we're encountering.
Yeah, to have an inceptive spirituality, one of beginnings, mm-hmm. And a conceptive spirituality, one of new life, right? You know, what's that song you love to sing? God is doing it.
Is doing a new thing. He's doing it. It's a funny YouTube video. N-U-T-H-A-N-G. Anyway.
Yeah, God is doing new things. God is bringing new life, you know. God can breathe new life onto a valley of dry bones. And so to walk out and to say, my heart may feel like a valley of dry bones, but I know that God can breathe new life into it. Mm-hmm. And maybe the people I'm working with, or maybe the people that I'm ministering to, or maybe my family, I don't know what new life looks like for them. But trusting in God, like, he can bring new life into this. Mm-hmm. And to choose to not work against him, and to not work against him bringing new life into our hearts, and him bringing new life into the hearts of those around us, to not put barriers up, and to not say, no, I will not allow you to breathe new life into this area, but to give him permission to act.
Mm-hmm. Shall we close in a prayer doing just that?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, you are the giver of life, the author of life, the perfecter of life. We lay before you our lives, Lord. We desire to be open to your Spirit, to be open to your promptings, to be open to new life. We pray for all who may be listening to this, especially our future selves. We pray for them to be open to new life, to be open to hope in a new way. That we may not practice a spirituality that is closed to your life and closed to your love, but is open more and more to your work and to your will. We pray, Lord, that when we receive you in the Blessed Sacrament, that we might not receive you in vain, that we might not be inattentive to your coming into our bodies and into our lives and into our souls, but that we may welcome you into our hearts, not only at the Eucharist, but all throughout our day, that we may make spiritual communions more and more, that we may be bearers of your life in this world, that we may be little Christophers, little Christ bearers. Lord, even when we don't feel like it, may we still will to be open to you. May we teach our hearts to desire you now, so that they may enjoy you for all of eternity. May you teach our hearts, Lord, again and again, what true love is and what your love is. Give us a truly inceptive heart, a heart made for beginning again, and a truly conceptive heart, Lord, a heart that's open to new life, that desires new life, that is hospitable to new life. Mother Mary, be with us. Help us to be like you, who received your Son so perfectly that you brought him forth into the world. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Take my hand, let's be on our way. And now, finally, I can say that I love you. Yes, I love you.
From our outpost to yours, thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's S-K-O-C-H.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.